Welcome to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, CEO of academia.edu, and I'm stoked that you're joining me for another conversation where we dig into the details, you know, really get curious about what's happening in academic research, what these big ideas actually mean for you, and maybe uncover a thing or two that nobody ever expected. Remember, as always, I'm not here to endorse or challenge any specific view. I'm just offering a look at what these papers say, what researchers are wrestling with, and how it might land for us out here in the real world. Today, I want to talk about a paper by Ruku I. Anson titled Symbolic Death as a Mechanism of Identity Transformation in Te Puta Maora. So right out of the gate, yeah, it's a mouthful. But trust me, the crux of this work is really fascinating and honestly potentially relevant to any of us who've ever gone through a big destabilizing life change. The core question that the paper explores is this: how do people, especially in the Maori context that the author is working from, transform their sense of identity through enduring profound loss or symbolic deaths? And by symbolic deaths, by the way, we're not talking zombies or ghosts or anything supernatural. We're talking about endings when something central in your life disappears, like a job, a role, a loved one, maybe even a cherished belief. And out of that ending, a new sense of self begins to take shape. Why does this matter? I mean, if you've experienced grief, career change, or even grown out of an old way of thinking, you know how confusing it is. This paper suggests that these symbolic deaths aren't just haphazard misfortunes, they might be part of a larger pattern of growth, even when it hurts like heck in the moment, which, whoa, is already a pretty hopeful take. So, let's talk about how the paper actually approaches this. Unlike a lot of academic writing that just theorizes from a distance, Ruku I. Anson traces 7 specific symbolic deaths in her own life across more than 40 years. These were moments like the loss of parents, a cancer diagnosis, job redundancy after more than 3 decades. They're not small. Each one marks the collapse of an old certainty, or the sudden end of a way of relating to family, work, or even one's own health. The method is a blend of Maori wakapapa, so genealogy, ancestry, huge in terms of personal and collective identity, with Western sociological models of change. One of the models the author borrows from is from Taylor Welch, who says something like, crisis forces consecration, meaning we don't choose when our lives get upended, but we do get to decide eventually what kind of meaning or purpose we find on the other side. And if that sounds a little abstract, think about, say, losing your job unexpectedly. You didn't want it, you didn't ask for it, but on the other side, you might find a whole new sense of vocation or self-worth, maybe even relationships that weren't possible before. The paper brings in another piece, numerology, the significance of the number 7, which is considered a number of completion in many traditions, and in this case is literally the author's Ariki or chief birth number. Now, numerology, is that scientific? Well, I can't tell you how to feel about it, but it's something a lot of people across cultures use to find meaning in patterns when life gets chaotic. So the author is saying these 7 deaths weren't counted up afterwards to match the number. Rather, the 7 had always been there, kind of running under the surface, and only became visible once she had the space to recognize the pattern. Not to get too cosmic about it, but here's a really interesting insight for us. Each symbolic death, yes, involves lots of pain, but it's also always both a spiritual and identity event at the same time. Losing a parent isn't just about grief. It's about suddenly realizing you're now the anchor in your family system. Getting sick isn't just about the body, but about how that forces us to relate differently to ourselves, maybe trust less in endurance, more in asking for help. What's especially cool is how the paper puts all these threads together: Maori ways of knowing, Western psychology, even biomedical research on how stress ages us physically. They all converge on this point. What is unhealed or unacknowledged keeps weighting us down, but once we can name and process it, kind of metabolize it in the author's language, there's an actual shift, mind and body. Now, okay, little tangent. Did anyone else spend about 4 years making the world worse sourdough during lockdown? There's something about that slow transformation, right? Letting things break down, compost, and then create something new. Not quite the high concept trauma journey, but hey, some of us found meaning, or at least tried to. To circle back, what does all this mean for you? Well, look, if you're in the thick of some kind of life upheaval, this paper offers a way to see yourself not as stuck or broken, but as someone who might be in the very process of reforming. Maybe there's even a pattern you can't quite see yet. Maybe it has nothing to do with the number 7, or maybe it's just how humans throughout cultures find meaning through and after loss. I'll just remind everyone, again, I'm presenting this neutral. This is one researcher's lens, not an absolute truth, but wow, what a perspective to consider, right? At the minimum, it gives us language for those times when things are messy and we wonder, why am I going through this again? Maybe, like the author, you're not circling in vain, but moving through another turn of the wheel. Painful, yes, but maybe also necessary for the kind of change that sticks. That's where I'll leave it. Remember, academic papers don't have the final word on anything, but they do open up possibilities for inquiry, reflection, maybe healing. Thanks for going in depth with me today. I hope you found something here to chew on, or at least a new way of thinking about old struggles. Until next time, keep questioning, stay curious, and don't be afraid of your own symbolic deaths. They might just be the door to something greater.